Reading from New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17. Bible says, finally, say finally, would you?
Finally,
finally, that's a big word. Finally, all of you, that's, I think, everybody, all of you, everybody, right? Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. This is a challenge. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Lord, we come before you this morning, and you are indeed mighty. And these are challenging verses, Lord. And this is a challenging life, Lord. And Lord, we do long for good days, Lord. We long for that good life, Lord. And we realize that there is a process that needs to occur in our lives before we get there. And that process, that change, is a challenge, Lord. We'll give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. If you got a phone, please turn it off. And these are some uphill scriptures this morning. I trust you are ready for a challenge. Title of today's message is Challenged for a Blessing. And perhaps you will be. I had a coffee meeting, a Starbucks meeting. How many of you have had a Starbucks meeting with me? Some people are afraid of those meetings. There's nothing to be afraid of. We have good times, and I'm drinking less coffee, so I'm having less of those meetings. But I'll just drink water or something if we need to have those Starbucks meeting. And I was meeting with this one person from the church, and we were talking about good stuff. And that person said, you know, Pastor, ever since I came to Christ, my life seems to be going downhill. Things seem to be getting worse and worse and worse. And I said, you know, sometimes that happens. I tell you, sometimes, you know, we come to the Lord, and we got, many of us, too much stuff. Amen? We got some stuff in our lives that is not pleasing at all to the Lord. And the Lord will begin to work on you and begin to kind of get rid of some of that stuff. Anybody gone through that process? Oh, yeah, all of a sudden, yeah, you can look at your life going downhill quick. It's like, whoa, and what the Lord is doing is he's trying to just get rid of all that clutter so that he can start building you up with a nice, strong, firm foundation.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? And so as that happens, it reminded me of title today, Challenge for a Blessing. All kinds of suffering going on. Suffering for doing good. Suffering for doing bad. And God will use it all to form you and to shape you to look more like his son. Amen? And I'll tell you what, it is an improvement. Look at that person next to you and say, you're looking pretty good. God's doing a formation process on you. It is like getting cosmetics or something. God is making you look good. Now, it's less than comfortable. Oh, did I miss this? There we go. There we go. Back to chapter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. I wish there was a different process. I wish, because he says, these have come, these what? These grievous trials, these suffering trials. Anybody have any suffering this week? Anybody have any trials this week? See, God, he says, Peter tells us that these have come so that your faith can be refined. The way gold passes through a fire, your life passes through these trials so that your faith may be proved genuine, can be proved real, and maybe result in glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I wish there was a different way. I wish I could just say, oh Lord, send me faith. And it'd be like a God pill. Got my faith? I won't need painful trials. I won't need suffering. I won't need challenges during the week. But that's would be Pastor Bob's plan. I would just come and pass out pills on church and everybody would be leave just all filled up. But we're not on Pastor Bob's plan. We are on God's plan. So you roll in here all beat down during the week. We're trying to pump you up with what? Some stories of some other folks that have gone through those challenges. And you can rely upon God in the midst of your challenges. And those challenges will lead you to the blessed life that Peter is talking about. And that's where God wants you headed. And that's where God wants you to end up. And that is why we live in this tough spot, so that we can go to the good spot. Amen?
Amen.
The title of this message is Challenge for a Blessing. We're going to go through this tough text and see what God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, number one. Oh, I forgot that. Does that look like the blessed life?
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking this morning, so I forgot. I was just shooting from the hip down there, yeah? So I got to get my new spot, right-handed, left-handed. The blessed life. I was thinking, yeah, that looks like the blessed life. I was thinking, just life on the beach. You know, just life, just having pineapple. I was thinking pineapple, just having it delivered. And you say, Lord, send me that life. You know, we pray, Lord, send it to me. And the Lord will give you an answer. I say, okay. And he says, oftentimes, let's start building it. You show up here today, Lord's saying, let's build. Right? And it's uphill. All right, now let's go ahead and go to the blessed life. Hey, we're heading towards it. Peter's saying this is how you're going to get it. You're going to get the blessed life. It's going to require a change. Can I get a witness on that? So you got to change for the blessed life. You got to change for the blessing. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. And Peter says you have a new way to live, a new way to live. Peter tells us, you want to have the good life. You want to have that blessing. You have got to find a way to get along. It can be a battle. Why? James tells us about it. What? Anybody have any fights this week? Anybody have any quarrels this week? Oh, yeah. He says, James tells us, James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What causes these fights? What causes these quarrels? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You want something. You covet stuff. You want it and you can't get it and you get mad. Am I the only one? You cannot have what you want and so you quarrel and you fight. And we don't get the good life because we're fighting. We don't get the good life because we want to win. And it is ingrained in us. I asked Roki and Andon, I said, how's the star? He's like, what are you talking about? Andon, man, he's on the team. How's it going? See, we got teams for our kids. We got teams for us. We got games that we play, board games, and we play it because why? Because we want to win. And sometimes we want to win so bad, we get small. Sometimes we'll even cheat. Sometimes we'll destroy our bodies. You hear about NFL players and, man, I heard about this, the NHL, the hockey players. It was on the strip on the bottom of the TV, and this guy got suspended for 2 games for an illegal hit on another player that caused a concussion and facial and dental fractures. Now, tell me that guy wants to win. Amen? And sometimes we want to win so bad, we'll do stuff that even will destroy the victory. Peter says, this is no way to win the victorious life, to get that blessed life. Peter says, if you are going to get that blessed life, you're going to need to make some changes. We need to get a common focus. We need to line up on Christ. Our values around here, CDI's Assembly, finding fullness in Christ. We're not going to find our fullness in victory. We are. We're going to find our fullness in Christ's victory. Amen? When you celebrate Christ's victory in you and in those around you, no longer do you have to win. No longer do you have to cheat. No longer do you have to get small, or do you have to stretch and to break the rules. You can say, my victory is already assured. See, you're going to get that blessed life. It's going to take a change in the way you live your life now. You have to change to get the blessing. Amen? You can be a blesser. Now, I called Pastor Scott this morning. He has a master's in English. I said, is it blesser or blessor? And he said, well, neither one of them's in the dictionary, but I'd be going with blesser. We're making up our own words here. You can be a blesser. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. How do you feel when you're insulted? He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Oh, I'm glad I came to church. Because to this you were called so that you can inherit a blessing. Repay evil with blessing. Let that soak in for a moment. That goes against the law of the hood. That's right. In the hood, payback is required. You get me, it's coming back on you double. Amen? That's not what Jesus said, though. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, you have heard it said, love your neighbor. You said, yeah, I'm all about loving your neighbor. But he said, I tell you, love your enemies. Anybody think that's uphill? That's tough. That's a challenge. That's different than what you got. How come there's no hands up? I see. Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Why? For a blessing. That you can be sons of your Father in heaven. You want a blessing, it's going to require a change in behavior. You want the good life, it's going to require a change in behavior. And Peter is going through, making a list, telling us how much we got to change. God calls us to repay evil with a blessing, and that's a challenge. Why is that a challenge? It's a challenge because we want evil to stop. Nobody wants evil to continue, right? Especially when it's pointed at you. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. And them kids that blew up the bombs in Boston, evil. Can I get a witness on that? Say, so, you know, people like that, they only understand one thing. They ain't going to understand kindness. We want to open our country to them. You want to stop evil? You got to be strong. You understand evil? You got to be right there. You know what? You got to stop evil. Evil understands evil real good. And you know what? We're just going to stand up to that step. We're going to stop those people. The Lord says, no. No, no, no. You repay evil with a blessing. Huh? That don't make sense. God does not want you to become evil, to stop evil. Evil wins. Evil comes against you. Aaron was talking about knowing the devil. Evil comes against you and you're going to respond in evil. He goes, hoo-hoo, I won. Right? God says, I'm paying attention. I can handle it. Let me handle it. Line up on me. And you'll get a blessing. Not one test, not one witness on that, huh? It's a challenge. Pastor Dave came back, when was he back here? 2 months ago, 3 months ago? Something like that. And he shared about the challenges. I mean, he's Pastor Dave. He's been in ministry for a long time. And he came back and he shared about the attack of his family upon him, about the gay marriage amendment that was being voted on in Minnesota. And his son is part of the homosexual community and got his other son and his daughter to all go to Pastor Dave and say, you know what, if you don't vote for this, we will never talk to you again. And they were straight up. We're not going to talk to you anymore. And he was very troubled by that. And he voted his conscience. And he came out here over Christmas time because his family would no longer talk to him. And he says, I'm going to stick around for Christmas back here. Nobody's even talking to me. Suffering. Trials. Amen? Amen. Pastor Dave is also struggling with, has had years, long time, about with glaucoma. Glaucoma is an eye disease. It has to do with the pressure of the eyes, and the pressure builds up, and it damages the optic nerve, and it will make you blind. And he's had surgery for that, and this was seven, 8 years ago that he had this surgery, and they said, you know, with this surgery, it's going to help you, and it's going to allow you to see for another 10 years. That's 8 years ago. And he's worried. He's planning on, I'm going to be blind. I need to have buses I can get on and all this kind of stuff. And he went, and he called me about a month ago, and he said, man, I just went to the eye doctor, and it is not good. He said, my eyesight has just taken this radical turn for the worse. And I don't know how much longer I'm even going to be able to drive. He said they got specialists and everything signed up for me. And, I just pray for me. And we said some prayers for him. And he called me yesterday, called me Friday morning. Maybe yesterday morning. One of these mornings, the past couple mornings. He said, I went to the specialist. They said, I've got cataracts. I said, really? Cataracts are easy to fix, man. You just skim them right off and it's just like nothing. Yeah, the doctor said that the decrease in vision I had was these cataracts that I'm forming. And in fact, she tested my optical nerve and said that there has been no damage to my optical nerve in the last 5 years from when they made the first test. And so what does that tell you? I say, you line up on the Lord. And now, he did not do one bad thing to fight back against his family, who was really shutting him out. And it doesn't make any sense. But he said, rather, Lord, I'll turn him over to you so that I can get a blessing. And the Lord touched his eye. It's hard, folks. It's uphill. Don't repay evil with evil, but with a blessing so that you can inherit a blessing. You want a blessing, you're going to have to change. You want a blessing, it's going to require a new focus and a new vision in your life. We good? All right. Number two, good life requires some change. Whoever would love life, who wants to love life? Oh, yeah. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. These are directions for a life that you can love. Again, for some of us, that's going to require change. In fact, Peter is writing this to the elect, those called by God, chapter 1, verse 1. And what that leads me to believe or to understand is that there are good Christians out there that are missing out on the good life. Why? Because of what is coming out of their mouth. If Jesus played a tape recording, does everybody here know what a tape recording is? I was thinking a webcast, maybe, you know, something like that. Yuseli is doing some family stuff today. I said, oh, man, this message is about you today on the good end. I was going to say, listen to the tape. But she's young enough, I don't even know if she knows what a tape is. I said, you can listen to the webcast. And she says, okay, I'll listen to it later. If Jesus paid a webcast, podcast, a tape, whatever, of your week, last week, would he be smiling or would he be frowning? Because Peter is writing this to the church saying, hey, you got to watch what's coming out of your mouth. Jesus told us what comes out of your mouth is a display of what is in your heart. Saying you got to make a change. This is on you. I wish there was a God pill. Oh, Lord, help me with my language. Conviction of the Holy Spirit works a little bit different than that. Oh, Lord, take this smoking habit away. I'll tell you what, you don't want to smoke, don't light up. And guess what? It is hard. Oh, I'll take a patch. It's still hard. I know, man. I quit smoking several times. It's hard every time. But I haven't smoked in 20 years, or 21 or 22. Hey, you want the blessed life, it's going to require change. Peter tells us to turn from evil and pursue peace. This is a change that has to happen in your life. God says, I'll give you a new heart, but you got to use it. You got to put it in gear. If you don't put it in gear, your old heart will govern and you'll act just the same way you used to act, and you will not be lined up for a blessing. You won't be lined up for the good life. Peter says you got to get in gear. You want the blessing, you got to make a change. Amen? All right, let's go. God is involved. He says, Peter's saying, the eyes of the Lord are on you. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we just take such comfort in that. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. The eyes of the Lord are on. Listen, the ear, the Lord is listening to my prayer. I went to a taco shop last night. And Bravo's down here on Whiteman. Very, very good taco shop, by the way. I give it props. Prices are going up, but they're going up everywhere. But anyway, it's over there right on Whiteman and Euclid. And there's a laundromat right next to it. And I'm coming out, and I mean, I see this. But I'm going to describe to you in about 3 seconds. And I'm coming out, and I look over here, and I see this little, like, 4-year-old girl playing in cardboard boxes. They're like discarded boxes outside next to the dumpster. And I see her fall over this box, right? And just kind of take a header. And she just pops right up and looks through the window, smiling, looking at her mom, wondering whether her mom was watching. And I want to let you know, God's always watching. God is always paying attention. Whatever you did last week, God was watching. He's paying attention to you. He is paying attention to your challenges. He knows your heart. He knows your desires. Question is he pleased? Some of you are here today going, man, I'm glad he was checking me out last week. Like, did you see me, Dad? Did you see me? Did you see that hit? I saw that hit, son. It was great. Did you see me in the play? My daughter went to the prom last night, and I'm telling you, I don't know, I might have to lock her up or something. She was looking pretty good. And The opposite of a quinceañera. You know, quinceañera is like, you know, what do they call it? It's like a coming out. We're going to like be a locking in. There we go. But you know what? I'm going to tell her. I say, man, I didn't even see her. She got all dressed up at her friend's house. I saw the picture her mom brought. I said, you're looking good, Leanne. I'm sure it's going to mean a bunch to her. And you know what? God's looking at you. And some of you are blessed by that. And right now, the Lord is giving you a pat on the back. I gave a pat on the back to the guys who helped with the stage. There's a lot of you who do a lot of stuff around here, and the Lord right now is saying, good job. Some of you, not so much. Some of you right now are getting an entirely different experience from God. Maybe you've had a tough week, and it's been a battle. Had to resort to some extreme measures. God knows me, God made me, and I just had to take care of business. God's still not happy. Who's paying attention? Why is that a problem? Because Peter tells us God's face is against those who do evil. So he tells you, don't let evil come out of your mouth. Turn away from those deeds of evil. See, we read this in the church. And we're thinking God's face is against everybody out of the church. But he's not writing this to everybody out the church. He's writing this to the church. And there's a lot of Christians who do not realize that God's face is against them. And that's what Peter is talking about today. Because if God's face is against you this morning, you'll never make it to the good life. You'll never make it to the blessing. And that's why you can't return evil for evil, because the evil guy puts you crosswise with God. And Peter says, it's not worth it. Right. Turn him over to God. You want the good life, you've got to make a change. Amen. Has to be a transformation in your life. Have to get that new focus, that focus on Christ. God's face is already against the other guy. Don't jump in. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The blessed life is a challenge. How many of you are challenged already going, oh my, this is a challenging day. I could have stayed home. Chargers are not. 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 through 15. Who's going to harm you if you're going to do good? But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, you're blessed. It's like, man, can you get off the suffering? Oh man, there's a lot of suffering out there. Amen? He says, don't fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. And Peter tells us that good things happen when you do good. And this is not necessarily a God thing. This is just a natural thing. Man, I used to be a bad guy. I used to steal and lie and cheat and do drugs and do all that kind of stuff. And you know what? Bad things happen to me. Because I was a bad guy. And when I stopped doing all those bad things, my life got better. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Yeah, man. I mean, I had more money. I wouldn't spend all on drugs all the time. This is good. You know what? That's just a natural response to changing your behavior. We're talking about more than that. We're talking about an entire new life. We're talking not about good things happening. We're talking about the blessed life. Amen? Amen? God is talking about making transformation in your life so that good things are coming. Now he said, hey, just because you're serving God doesn't mean bad things are going to happen. There is bad stuff going on all over the place around here. And sometimes you're just going to step right in it, or it's just going to step right on you. God says, do right. Do good. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Something bad might happen to you today. When sin happens to you, you do right. You be good. He says you're blessed in your connection with God. And that connection is not necessarily going to save you from bad stuff. But God's paying attention. And you'll be lined up on a blessing. Amen? Requires a change in your outlook. Requires a change in your behavior. Set apart Christ as King. Set apart Christ as Lord. Here in this church, we're going to find our fullness in Christ. And that means that we're going to surrender all the other little games that we got going on to find fullness in. Lay those down and say, Jesus, I'm your man. Jesus, I'm your child. I'm your woman. I am ready to live for you, and I am looking for the blessings that you send my way. And if my life is going downstream, I'll take it until you turn it around, because I got some stuff I need to get rid of. You're going to have the blessed life. You're going to have to make a change. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Last thing. Be ready to share your blessing. Be ready to share your blessing. He says, always be prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Are you ready? Are you prepared? That means that you've given some forethought. You've done some study. Some of you guys just, oh, yeah, man, I got it. Bam. I'm used to it. I've made that preparation. If you have, great. If you haven't, get to it. Peter says it's on you. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your... There's some people who are lying on you. And you can prove them wrong by how you act. I'm telling you, I have heard lies about you. And you know what? I go, I don't even believe that. Because I know this person. I know this person. I see the Holy Spirit in them. I'm not even paying attention. It says, there's people speaking against you, and because of your good behavior in Christ, they would be ashamed of their slander. It is better, this is a biggie, if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If I came and asked you, why are you so different, would you have an answer? Somebody else came and asked you, would you have an answer? Many of you do. Many of you shared that. Peter says, if you don't got one, get one. A gentle one. It'll take some effort, take some time. It may even take some practice. Here's a bigger question. Are you living in such a way as the elicit that question? Is there anybody who would come up to you and say, why are you so different? Or are you the same as everybody else around you? Because part of that blessed life, that change that happens, is people are going to see it. And who do you know that you're going, whoa, I want what that person has. And I hope it ain't cash. I'm talking about a life, the good life, the blessed life in the Lord. Like, you want to be able to go to the doctor and say, whoa, I haven't seen any damage in your optical nerve in 5 years. I want to find out what's going on, Pastor Dave. Oh, yeah. Amen? I'm going to ask him, why do you have such hope in the Lord? And you know what? I about guarantee you Pastor Dave's got an answer. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
You have heard the answer that Pastor Dave had. The Lord, I'll tell you what, you got an answer ready to go, the Lord will put you in a spot that he can use you in a mighty way. Got to live change. Get that blessing. God will bless you just to advertise how good your life is. Hang around some people who got answers. Copy their answer. That's okay with the Lord. Hey, you know what? I'm copying Peter this morning. It's a good book. We got to make nothing up. Because it's not my victory. It's his victory that we're participating in. Amen? Maybe you come in here this morning. You can come on up here, Lisa. We're about done. Maybe you come in here this morning and you're struggling. And you're saying, you know what? My life is tore up from the floor up. Make a change. I got saved. I had been stoned or drunk every day for 15 years. From the time I was 15 to the time I was 30. I got straight when I was actually 29, and I was like a 15-year-old in a 29-year-old body. It took me a year how to learn to live straight. And that year was not pretty. You know what? You might not be the most pretty specimen of the Lord as your life is going downhill, as you lose all the garbage that you don't need in your life, and then you start climbing back up. It'd take a while. I mean, be happy, get high. Be sad, get high. Get mad, get high. You got to learn how to function as a human without getting high. I don't know what you do, but sin will grab your entire existence, and you got to learn how to live without sin. That's why if you want the blessed life, you got to make a change. Amen?
Amen?
You come in here this morning. God's looking at you. And he's either happy or he's not happy. And if he's happy looking at you, I want to stand with you. I want to pray with you. Don't do that, Richard. There you go. Thank you. It's like the most critical time in the sermon. That's okay, though. It was a cord. Okay. I'm glad these didn't go on. God is looking down on you this morning, and he is pleased. It's because you've had a challenging week and you've done well. That you've not responded with evil with evil. That the suffering that has come your way, that you have responded in a right way. I want to stand with you. It's like Anissa going down. I asked her, realistically, Anissa's, I don't know, what is Anissa, 15? She didn't come in here thinking, yes, I want to watch 4 nursery kids this morning. And I looked at her, and there was a moment of dismay on her face. And then she smiled, and she went down there. And you know what? God's paying attention. Want the blessed life? You've got to make a change. You're here this morning, and you're part of the crew that set this up this week. You've been down for the Lord this week, and he's going, well done, well done. You know what? I want to pray with you. I want to stand with you. We're going to have a time of prayer as Lisa sings. Because I tell you what, he might be patting you on the shoulder, patting you on the back, and you're probably pretty tired. Oh, Lord, it's been a good week, but it's been a hard week. I want to pray with you. Maybe right now you're feeling the Lord's face against you. It's not good. You're not feeling good. You're going, oh yeah, Thursday. Oh, Thursday was not a good day. I want to pray with you. Because you can make a change. I want to pray with you to keep going what's going good. And I want to pray with you to make a change where there needs to be a change. Because God's paying attention. And if you're doing good, he wants you to do better. And if you're doing bad, he wants you to do good. Make sense? Lord, I come before you this morning. And Lord, I come against the devil, Lord, that would bring distraction. But right now, Lord, there are those that are here this morning that are weary, Lord. Weary from doing good. It is better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil, Lord. For those that are suffering for doing good, Lord, I just pray right now, your Holy Spirit just poured out upon them, Lord. Lord, just new energy and new focus and new vision and new purpose and new drive and new direction, Lord. Greater change, a greater blessing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Pastor Dave, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Anissa. Lord, I thank you for Yuseli, what you've got going on this morning. I thank you for so many that are here this morning. Lisa Gaudet downstairs teaching. Lydia downstairs teaching. Pastor Scott and Aaron downstairs teaching. Lisa standing behind me singing. Sick last night, sore throat, Lord. Suffering for doing good. Lord, I pray for those that are feeling your conviction, Lord, that they did not choose as Peter would have them choose. They would not choose this week, did not choose how you would have them choose. They did not line up on you. Your face is not for them, Lord, but your face is against them, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, the heaviness of the Holy Spirit come upon them, Lord. Let repentance flow, Lord. Lord, let change happen this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those that are not even here, Lord, that the weight of your Holy Spirit would come upon them this morning, that there would be an opportunity of mercy, Lord, of your grace, the opportunity to repent, Lord, from that evil. And to line back up upon you and to be forgiven because of the blood that was shed on Calvary, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to live crosswise to you, Lord, that I can line back up and find your fullness. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you if God is patting you on the back and saying, good job, or he's tapping you on the shoulder saying, you got to make a change. I'm going to ask Paul and Ann to come on up here and help me pray. You know what? The folks that come up here to pray, you can pray for us too, because I tell you what, doing good is a heavy load. Amen? So Lisa's going to sing. We're going to stand. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. I just want you to just move out. There might be a line. I might ask some other people to pray. But I want you to just stand. We're going to sing a song or two. But you need prayer. You're doing good. You need prayer to keep going. You're doing bad. You need prayer to make a change. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.